Welcome to Central Standard Friday. I'm Charles Ferruzza. Today is Friday the 13th, the day that always, you know, I find haunting and horrible all at once. You know, I will say this. Friday the 13th was, when I was a waiter generally, a terrifying night. You know, like a full moon night.
Really?
Anything that could go wrong would go wrong. And in the second half of Central Standard Friday, we're going to be talking about restaurant etiquette. And that's sort of an umbrella term because it can, you know, encompass a lot of things. But there are certain ways to behave in restaurants. And one of the ways to behave in restaurants is not to take your children to a restaurant.
curmudgeon.
Now, you know, I was a child who was taken to restaurants.
Yeah, so was ours.
And because my father was, you know, sort of peripherally in the restaurant business, he was in the liquor business, and because we were going to restaurants that were owned by his clients, we were threatened with death if we misbehaved.
That's how my son was raised, pretty much, so. And he was very good. With you know, I brought his Cheerios with him, but he was very, very good. He sat there and was quiet, and I'm sure he spent many board hours. But he was good.
You do have to train children, for lack of a better term.
Well, that's the problem is, and we could talk more about this in the second half hour of the Central Standard Friday, but the problem is, especially for children and etiquette in restaurants, is it's a catch-22 situation. They have to be in a restaurant to learn how to behave in a restaurant.
Right.
But if they don't behave in a restaurant, they unfortunately are in the restaurant. So,
or their parents started bad habit.
The parents need to learn how to, you know.
Well, don't hand them a cell phone to play games.
Yeah.
Or don't let them run.
That's a whole new.
Or number one, do not let them run around the restaurant, especially if there are waiters and waitresses carrying big, heavy trays.
Yeah.
Horribly dangerous. But that is our second half. In the first half of Central Standard Friday, as we always do, we are going to talk about new and great restaurants we've been to, and or maybe not so great. And I want each of our panelists to introduce themselves, starting with Christine.
I am Chris Basica. I write for Ingram's Magazine.
I am Emily Ferris from FeedMeKC.com and the Feed Me KC podcast.
Gloria Gale, 435 South Magazine.
And I'm Charles Ferruzza with The Pitch, and The Pitch's food blog, which is easily accessible at pitch.com. The food blog is called Fat City. You can join the conversation. Tell us where you have been that's new, exciting, wonderful, horrible, dreary, lovely, by calling us at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can send an email to centralstandard@kcor.org. We're also reading your tweets at KCORCST. Okay, Christine, where have you been?
Well, first I want to say we don't usually talk about products, but I had some of the best honey I've ever had in my life, and it was at the Merriam Farm Market. There's a place called Ocarina, and it's premium flavored honey, and I just had
Kansas honey?
Kansas and Missouri honey, and they flavor it, and it's just fabulous.
Wait, they flavor it? It's not flavored naturally?
It is flavored. It is more than honey. It has different
you mean
flavors.
Like lavender and essences?
Yeah.
Clover.
But it's delicious. Okay. But anyway.
They're not adding any, you know, artificial flavorings to it.
I don't think so. There's a peach honey, for instance, and I'm assuming they're using peach juice to do that. Mm. But anyway, it was good. Don't look at me that way. It was good.
I'm rolling my eyes.
I know you are. I did go to Freebirds.
Okay, great.
And
To explain to our listeners what Freebirds is and where it is.
Freebirds is in Mission, right across, kind of down from Panera, sort of between Panera and the post office. The actual address is 6029 Metcalf.
Okay.
And
Freebirds is based out of where?
Based out of California.
And it was started by a couple of hippies?
They wanted fresh food, and so they started, Ponytails and all started making it, I guess. And it was an extremely popular place, and they're now in Texas and California, and they're gradually expanding. In the interest of full disclosure, I do have to say that my nephew is part of that organization.
Okay.
So, but I've only been to one Freebirds, and that was in Dallas, and this one is absolutely wonderful.
Now, what makes it different from Chipotle?
It's better. Everything is fresh. Every single thing is fresh. They're not opening cans. They're cutting their lettuce. They're doing the meat in front of you. Everything
you could say that about Chipotle.
Huh?
You could say that also about Chipotle.
Yeah, somewhat. Not as much.
Chris, is it organic? Or is it, do you know?
I don't know.
Is it expensive?
No, it is not at all expensive. You get to choose your own, and you walk through the line, and you take this giant thing through, and there's already been... Last night when I left, it's down from my office, 5:30, there was a line out the door. My partner at Project Explorer, she left at 8 o'clock that night, line out the door.
Wow.
So if you're under 25, I think you know about...
Do they serve alcohol?
They do. They have fresh-made margaritas, which they don't use a mix. They mix their own juice. They pump the fruit and make the juice. So and they have beers. And they have several good beers. So... It's and the food, I got a regular size one, and honestly, it was my lunch one day and then my lunch the next.
Very good.
It's good food. People should try it. I don't know if I'd race out immediately, frankly, just because
the lines are
so long. But the lines are there for good reason. It's got a really good reputation.
Now, you and I have both been to the new bar and restaurant in Waldo. I don't know if Gloria and Emily have been there.
I've been.
You've been to as well.
I went yesterday for lunch.
Remedy Food and Drink.
Right.
Food plus drink.
It's in the
space formerly occupied by Kennedy's.
Yes.
And Kennedy's was never especially known for its good food.
Yeah, and this place is, I think.
Well, the chef is what, Max Watson?
Yes.
He's great.
Yes, he is. And this is a very nice looking place, nice feeling place, not at all like...
It's sort of a farm-to-table place, too.
Yeah, absolutely. They also are really working on everything being fresh. My friend and I had a burger and a BLT for dinner the other night and split both of them. And the French fries, if Mary were here, I would really... But good French fries.
Very good French fries.
And really fresh food and very pretty and delish. I'd really recommend it. Emily,
I
went yesterday for lunch, and I had a wonderful experience. My podcast partner, Jeff, and I, we shared the eggplant fries. We started with those, and they were amazing. I know, Charles, you had a little different...
Well, I thought they were delicious. I just thought when I had them, they were a little bit salty.
I love they started out salty on top, and when you got to the bottom, they were in honey, so they went from salty to sweet.
And not soggy?
Not soggy at all. Very crispy. They're battered and a little bit lightly battered. It is the best preparation of eggplant I've ever had in my life. I don't really like eggplant, and I considered getting a second order of these as an appetizer part two. You should run to Remedy for the
eggplant.
I'm going
to try them again because, you know, you use salt to pull the moisture out of eggplant. Maybe they just didn't rinse it. I don't know. But
didn't dry it after.
But they have a real interest. The reason I want to go back is, did they describe how they do the fried chicken?
I was not interested in the fried chicken because I got a pork shoulder for lunch.
Oh, I heard
that fell apart with my fork.
Oh, that's great.
It's cut like a steak, and it's served over hominy and kale.
Wow.
And the pork shoulder, it's like a pork shoulder steak, and it just came up. I didn't even need a knife. It was amazing.
On the subject of steak, though, did you see I tasted it.
Was it good?
And I don't like cauliflower, but for our vegetarian listeners out there, they have a cauliflower steak, and they put the a slice of cauliflower, a thick slice of cauliflower, in the hot water bath, a sous vide, and boil it or let it cook for a couple hours, so it's very, very tender. And then they saute it as if it was a real steak.
Wow,
and
that
it's
sounds
got
great.
A lovely, I believe, a tahini sauce.
Yum.
It was really, really, really good. Now, would I ever order it as my entree?
No. But
after my first heart attack, I will. But I took a vegetarian friend of mine, and she loved it.
Really? Yeah. I was going to try that next. Yeah, that
sounds
good.
Delish.
I will be going back very soon. So I'm going to work we talked to the waiter yesterday. Said they have one menu right now. It's sort of a lunch and dinner menu. Mm-hmm. They're expanding. They're going to have a lunch menu in about 2 weeks, and then they're going to start serving brunch in about 3 weeks, which I and Chris will probably also be very excited about because they have a very nice cocktail menu.
Yes, they do.
I think the place is open by two liquor distributors.
Indoors, outdoors?
Do they have outdoors?
They have a patio.
Yeah, they do. Bibs on the
parking wouldn't really want to sit on Warnell Road.
There.
What else did you have, Emily, besides the pork shoulder?
Well, Jeff got the trout, and it was a really interesting preparation. It has an olive fennel citrus salad, salsa verde and grilled lemon. And it was very, very different flavor than I was expecting, but it was very good and a very visually interesting presentation. We both cleaned our plates, and I sucked the last drop out of my cocktail, and I think we'll be going back very soon.
They have
and
nice desserts, too.
I had no room left over for desserts. But, you know, the service was great, and Waldo is not a place that I expect to go and get a great meal.
Right.
No offense to Waldo, but I just...
It's hopping, though.
It's up and coming.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, so I will be spending more time in Waldo.
You want to talk about House?
House, I do indeed, because this was a very fun place and definitely not for vegetarians.
No.
Although their French fries, I will say, you could just eat a meal of their French fries and they are enough.
But are they cooked in vegetable oil?
Oh, I have no idea. Okay. I didn't ask.
I would assume they are.
But Haus is a...
H-A-U-S.
H-A-U-S.
The corner of Gillum and 31st, I believe.
Right, 3044 Gillum Road. They have fries, sausages... And home style or house style Belgian waffle for dessert. Should you be able to do that, and you get them with toppings. And I had the pork Thai, and I am not a big sausage eater necessarily, but I had the pork Thai chili kaffir lime that was really spicy, and he told me it was really spicy, which I then turned over to my husband and got the rabbit and tomato basil, which was also sausage. Which was also really, really good. And the fresh pretzel bun, and so I'm visualizing this big, puffy, you know, brown. It was sliced like bread almost. It was very nice because it wasn't too much.
And those buns are from Farm to Market, and the sausages are made by Alex Pope.
Yeah.
And they are all –
from
tried
the
most
local
of the,
pig?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
very,
most of the flavors
very
are
good.
I've had most of them. They're great.
Have you had the Belgian waffle?
I have not. I have had multiple orders of fries on one trip. That's sort of a trend of mine. And most of the sausages. And
On the subject of waffles, I don't want to confuse our listeners, but the new Remedy at the it's sort of at the corner of
75th and Warnell.
Yes. A little bit west of that. But their great dessert is the chef pours brownie batter into a waffle iron.
Oh my!
And I didn't. I thought that might be a novelty I wouldn't like, but it was delicious.
Ooh, I see that now.
Like thick,
served with bourbon apple ice cream.
Oh,
yes,
boy! There goes the paleontologist.
I know, right?
As a non-drinker, I could not. I took a tiny, tiny taste of the bourbon apple ice cream, thinking it might be heavy on the bourbon, and it was.
Well, we'll go together, and you can eat the brownie, and I'll eat the ice cream.
That sounds like a fair deal. This is, by the way, a Central Standard Friday. This is the restaurant panel show on Central Standard Friday. I'm Charles Ferruzza here with this fabulous panel of foodies, and I want to encourage you to join the conversation. Tell us where you have been, or if you have questions about places we're talking about. The telephone number is 816-235-2888. 816-235-2888. We are getting a lot of emails from you at centralstandard@kcur.org. And I want to remind you that the last restaurant we were talking about, Remedy, is at 500 West 75th Street. And what is the address of House again?
It is 3044 Gillum Road.
Okay, and let's move on to Emily.
Okay, well, I've been to Remedy, so that my glowing review of that. I also went to the Los Alamos Market, which is a bodega, basically, at the corner of 18th and Summit. And it's next to Westside Local, it just looks like a bodega. Mm-hmm. And recently, the owner has sort of shortened the bodega aisles and added some tables and a taco service. Well, just tacos, but...
I've bought things in there, but I don't think I've ever actually eaten there. Is the food good?
It is really good. I'm a big Mexican food fan, and I'm fairly picky about my Mexican food, and it was amazing. I got a chicharron taco, a carnitas taco, and a shredded beef taco, and beans and rice. And even though it was sitting, it's sort of like they make a buffet for you. So it's all out in a counter and you point to what you want. The rice was, even though it was sitting there, it was not hard or crispy like rice gets. I'm not a huge refried beans fan, and I cleaned my plate. The person I went with also got it's cactus, but it has another name that I...
Nopales.
And delightful. So good. And the staff was really nice, and we had a little issue getting our order in, and they fixed it immediately. And it's a great place to go for lunch. The unfortunate thing is it's because it's a bodega, they sell wine and beer, but you can't buy it and have it at your table because they have a liquor law license issue. But it's they have sodas and it's really good, really fresh, tasty food.
I want to remind because according to our email lister, we've got several people asking again, what is the address of Remedy Food Plus Drink? It is 500 West 75th Street. It is about a block west of 75th and Warnell.
Yeah.
All right.
And I just said that Los Alamos was at 18th and Summit, but I'm terrible at directions, and I'm picturing it's at 16th and Summit.
Okay, I'm with you now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes, right next to West Side Local.
And where else have you been?
I went to the new bar in the Alamo Draft House.
Oh, is that where
the Chesterfield?
Right, is that where
formerly in the main AMC Main Street?
Okay, great.
I actually went the night they opened. I've been out of town for a few weeks, so this is a couple of weeks back. They posted on Facebook, "We're going to go ahead and open tonight. Come in and have cocktails." And Alamo Draft House is very popular in Austin, Texas, and they have a couple of locations, and they're known for their kind of fun, bar-y atmosphere. And
now, is that a place where you could eat and drink and watch a movie at the same time? Is that what...
Main Street was that, and yes, you can do that. And the great thing about it is no children under 6 are allowed ever. Well, and on the weekends, if you're under 18, you have to be accompanied by a legal guardian or adult. So it would be a great place to go have a real adult movie night.
Wow.
Yeah, and so the bar inside is Chesterfield, and they've sort of taken away. When I went to the AMC Main Street bar once, I had the bartender try to tell me that Boulevard beer didn't count as domestic beer, that it wasn't domestic beer. And then here they're like making handcrafted cocktails, and it's very nice. And I would recommend a trip in there. They're sort of going to complete their rebranding of the Alamo, sort of the funkiness of it, over the next few months and add more food items. But they have a few food items and delicious cocktails.
And that's the Chesterfield at the... former AMC downtown. And where have you been, Miss Gloria Gale?
Well, I've been eating my way through. And just want to talk about, speaking of the Summit area, I had been to Little Freshy based on your recommendation last time, and just loved it. And people were out the door with that. So that's really a refreshing place to go. And then also, I just went across the street. I had a child in tow with me and his father. But we went to Chazelle, and it was after the crowd on a Saturday afternoon, I think. And basically, they're just rocking over there. They have a lot going on. It's delicious still. And she holds the owner, I can't think, Ellen?
Ellen.
Is that her name?
Trakus, yeah.
Yeah. She has a First Fridays for Artists and a Second Saturdays are for writers. Second Saturdays
they do
from
like,
6 to yeah, 9.
Stage readings.
Yeah, salon. Kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Have you gone? Have you performed?
No. What am I going to do? Read a menu?
Poetry.
Anyway, and then I also went to Fortune Walk and Sushi out south, which is at 11236 West 135th Street, which is the northwest corner of 135th Street in Neiman. And then they have another restaurant. I don't know where. Does anybody else know the other restaurant for that? Somebody might call in. It's delicious. It's big. It's has everything you ever wanted in the Oriental and sushi. I don't particularly get sushi, but they had the works. The dumplings were great. The tempura was wonderful. The wok roasted chicken, and certainly enough for a crowd.
That's Fortune Walk, and again,
Fortune
the address
Walk.
Is...
11236 West 135th Street. And then I also went up to Pachamama's in Lawrence and went for lunch. And it was delicious and beautiful.
I think we have time for one quick phone call before we go to break. And is this Brent in Kansas City?
Yes, it is. I was calling about the honey. Typically, like if it has a peach flavor, it's not added. It's just that the Hive was in a peach grove. And when they're just pollination of the peach grove, and they make the honey from the peach pollen or the lavender pollen.
Oh, that sounds okay. Well, that sounds a little more natural than adding peach juice to it.
Yes, yeah, natural peach flavor.
I'm assuming what you had was flavored that way. Every flavored honey I bought before was nothing added to it. It was just the type of plant that it was pollinated on.
Great, Brent. You answered a question that would have kept me up tonight until 3 a.m., so thank you. Okay, let's go to Rachel in Overland Park. Rachel?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. What do you have to tell us about free birds?
Well, I have never had free birds before, and a bunch of my coworkers went to school at Texas A&M, where I think their original restaurant is, and so
yes.
We went last night for dinner, and as Chris was saying, it was super busy, and I was a little apprehensive to wait in like a 20-minute line, but I got in, and the food was delicious. It is, I talked to their roller, I guess you would say, and he was telling me that everything is all organic and all natural. He said they were all grass-fed and hormone-free, which I really liked. I got the small burrito, the smallest one.
The high bird.
Yeah, and it filled me up completely.
Yeah.
Wait, what's it called?
The high bird.
This is just too cute for words.
I'm also loving, is it Mission-style burritos in Mission, Kansas?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then they had different flavors of tortillas, and I got the cayenne one. That's what everybody said was their favorite. And it was really good. I'm not a spice person, so I was a little nervous that it was going to not taste good on the outside, but it was actually wonderful. It added a new note to it. And they have these little bits of roasted garlic that was one of my favorite things that Freebirds had.
That is great. I did the spinach tortilla because I was feeling healthy.
Yeah.
I also got the pot brownie. Which by itself is over.
Is there a pot in it?
No,
baked,
but it's baked in a pot. And I will tell you that for a brownie like that, it was scrumptious. I clearly can't eat many of them on my diet, however.
I didn't good. Have one, but they look huge.
They are huge. They're enough also.
I think it's
split.
Pretty nervy to be selling pot brownies in Mission. It's brazen almost. Anyway, so you would suggest, Rachel, that we will like Freebirds.
Yes, I do think so. It's quick, it's easy, and it's good food.
All right. Great. Well, there's a little commercial for us.
There.
Freebirds in Mission. What is the address again?
Wait a minute.
Here's.
There. 6029 Metcalf, but it's actually off Metcalf, and you have to take one of those side streets. There's a whole bunch of building going on. They're filling up that entire corner all the way around Panera. It's a blank lot.
The barbecue joint is around there.
Johnny's is down further, but yeah, sort of in the same
area. Neck of the woods. Okay.
I want to remind our listeners that when we come back after the break, we will be talking about restaurant etiquette, places that you believe or things that you believe need to be done in restaurants and aren't being done. I'm sure you're all going to weigh in with something. The telephone number is 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888, or send an email to centralstandard@kcor.org. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And this is Central Standard Friday. I'm Charles Ferruzza here with Chris Basica from Ingram's Magazine, Emily Ferris from FeedMeKC.com.
Yes.
And the perpetually lovely Miss Gloria Gale, who has just returned from climbing the Himalayas.
Yeah, there you go.
And she writes for 435 South Magazine. We are, as I expected, getting a full switchboard for the topic we're going to talk about in this next 30 minutes, which is restaurant etiquette. But we've already had a couple of Facebook messages and tweets, and I wanted to say that on Twitter, Dan writes, my restaurant pet peeves are a shared plate charge, which we can weigh in on that, loud music. Most restaurants have satellite music, and it can be loud. Menus with pictures of food. It's perfectly acceptable at IHOP. and the sight lines of cooks in hairnets. I'm not even going to address the last one, but you want your cook to be wearing a hairnet.
Yeah.
As someone who's worn
one. Better than the alternative.
Yes. Okay. So, what do you think, Emily, about, what are some of your pet peeves?
This one just goes to show what a grammar nerd I am, but and it's very small, but when the server addresses the table as we. What are we having tonight? I didn't know you were dining with us this evening, sir.
It's hospital talk.
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
Or the flip side to that is, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, that doesn't. I would prefer someone who is going to be more casual and comfortable. I'd rather be called a guy than be included in the royal we with the server.
The royal we.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to mention grammar on the menus.
Oh, it's on my list. That is a huge pet peeve of mine.
People that can't spell on their menus. Yeah, and it's like, and on their websites, I'm like, is no one checking their copy?
I don't think anyone is checking their copy. And I'd like to make this public service announcement. Martinis, not possessive. There is no apostrophe between the I and the S.
Yes.
So anyone listening who's
unless it's the Martinis olive.
The martini that isn't, yes, it belongs, the olive that belongs to the martini.
Kids, this is not a grammar show.
All right, I'm going to cut to the chase.
Well, go ahead.
Bad bathrooms.
Yes, I'll tell you. And then you know my theory on that. If the restroom is dirty, the kitchen will be too.
Right,
worse.
And also, real quickly, cleaning equipment out.
Oh.
Like whatever, you name it, it's out.
Mm-hmm. I walked into a restaurant on, I won't say what it is, 39th Street, I like a lot. And we were going there to eat some food that we were craving. And we walked in, and it just reeked of cleaning solution.
Yo.
The second we walked in the door.
Bleach, like?
Yeah, like bleach or Pine Sol or something. And there's no way I'm going to eat smelling that. I want the place to be clean, but I don't want to smell the cleaning products.
I want to tell our listeners what inspired today's show. We got an email at Central Standard Friday. The email, of course, came to centralstandard@kcor.org, where you can send your emails. But someone wrote us to say, I was born in a different country. After a few years listening to your program, I'd like to learn more about restaurant etiquette for a trip to a local barbecue joint or Lydia's. Maybe learn how it's done in America. I can tell you that restaurant etiquette is really not required in barbecue restaurants.
Well, etiquette is you should pick up your ribs and eat them with your hands.
I agree with that, yes. I sometimes wear white gloves, but only if I'm
plastic,
trying to
I
make
hope.
A fashion statement. Okay, right. Mary writes, and this is something we all want to weigh in on, I think. Mary writes, keep the cell phone turned off and off the table. Bravo, Mary. Using a cell phone while dining gives a message of, you don't matter as much as this phone call. It's an example of self-absorbing behavior. No, it's hard to imagine that is going on.
I do know of one use for a cell phone, which sort of goes back to etiquette. I think if a restaurant is too dark to read the menu, you may turn on the flashlight on your cell phone.
Yes.
And you may use it to read. At which point, they should get that hint. But that's it for me in cell phones.
You know, if you had asked me 2 years ago, had I ever been to a restaurant where it was too dark to read the menu, I would have said no.
Mm-hmm.
Until I went to the late lamented Faux Thai in Leawood.
Oh.
Because it was so dark in there. I mean, I could barely find my fork.
Yeah.
But Faux Thai is no longer with us.
Lights
out at Faux Thai. And it is now a new Japanese sushi restaurant. Although they do have many of the old Faux Thai dishes. It's now called Soy Asian Cuisine. And I think they could have come up with a more creative title.
The word soy? S-O-Y? Like bean?
Mm-hmm. S-O-Y, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
no.
It doesn't, you know what? It's not a sexy word.
No.
You know, not like fortune walk or something like that.
You know, getting back to the person that sent this in, I've been trying to think if you are a foreigner and you're coming to this country, and there are a lot of Americans that don't know how to behave in restaurants either, but one of the first things that occurred to me is we do tip. And for decent service, you tip at least 15%.
Oh, yeah.
And for decent service, for good service.
Listen, I tip 15% if they throw the plate at me.
Well, I always tip at least 20.
I don't always tip at least 20 if the service is bad. I absolutely have stopped doing that. But I think, you know, for instance, if you come from Spain, people don't tip in Spain. So but we have different tipping standards at, say, a barbecue place that has the jar. With the, you know, I don't think most people there tip 20%, especially if they've gone up to get their food.
True.
Not unless
throw in a bucket or two.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But you should put something in the bucket. If you're walking at a coffee shop or a restaurant, I say at a coffee shop, if the barista is pulling a shot for me, I put a dollar in the bucket.
Yeah, there's
always.
Even a tip jar outside of a Starbucks when you go through the drive-thru.
Listen, I've got a tip jar on my desk at the pitch.
How's that going for you?
Very slim pickings. But let's go to Megan. Megan in Kansas City. Megan?
Yes, I think it's a pet peeve and it's a real health turn off. Is that when they come, the waiter comes to your table to refill your glass, they set the edge of the pitcher on the edge of your glass, and then you go from table to table to do that.
Oh. Yeah.
The second, and it just happens. I understand why it happens, but I have even embarrassed people that I've eaten with because I stopped the waiter or waitress and said, "Please don't do that."
Hmm. And now, this is interesting because I never. I've never, Megan, really thought about that. I have a personal and very strong feeling about servers who come to the table with their fingers on the rim of the glasses.
Or inside, holding four glasses on the inside.
That is a true health issue. I don't know so much about the lip of a pitcher, though.
If it's touching one glass and going to the next and going to the next, lip gloss, my DNA in my lip gloss.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, your lip has touched that glass, and then the pitcher has touched the edge of the glass. There's no way it doesn't go from glass to glass to glass. And the other one is that when I ask for a different utensil or a new utensil, I'd like it to be brought to my table in a napkin, not in your hand.
Yeah.
So, but I guess if we all knew the things that went on in restaurants when we weren't there, we might never go out to eat. But I have noticed that maybe it's been talked about enough with the glass that many of them begin to offer straws. And that at least makes me feel like my Howard Hughes can be put to rest.
Okay, we're all more neurotic now after that call.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Megan. And we are talking about restaurant etiquette and what you believe needs to be done or not done. And you can join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888, or sending us an email, as many people have done here, to centralstandard@kcor.org, or tweeting us at KCORCST. And Betsy reflects her peeve as a server, and this is a good point. When someone makes special requests of the server or the kitchen, then they need to tip appropriately.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and another thing, people, yes, you do tip the person who gets your carryout order ready.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not 20%. 10% is usually the standard. Mm-hmm. But you do not walk out without tipping the person who did all that work. Often it's the bartender who has to take time away from his clients. Anyway, we're taking your calls, 816-235-2888. Emily, you've been in the restaurant business. Is there something you just cannot abide?
Well, I have two yes. So one, and this is a very personal thing, and people will probably disagree with me, but if you are going to go out to a nice meal and order a steak that has been hand-selected and aged, I believe that you should eat it how the chef thinks it is best prepared.
I
when people order a well-done, dry-aged steak, I think that's, why are you ordering that steak? Why are you eating at this restaurant? Why are you eating from this chef? You are sort of undoing what this chef has done to this meat.
But what if I have a very, very good friend who is absolutely phobic about seeing red or pink in her
steak. Then don't go to a nice restaurant and order steak. Order something else. Order the cauliflower steak.
You know what I suggested? Golden Corral.
Yeah.
So it's always well done. Or
get a burger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as a server, when I go out to eat with someone who asks, how much is this? How much is this? I'm like, oh, God, the server's going to think we're going to be terrible tippers. Because when you sit down at a table and you're asking how much everything is, I feel like you're already...
Wasn't it on the menu, the prices?
Special.
Oh, I really disagree with that. I think the server needs to tell you when they're describing the special
right off the
how
bat,
much it
yeah.
is.
I agree.
But they
so that's
very
sort of
rarely
a,
do.
Right. So this is sort of a two-part pet peeve of mine. So it's the server should describe it. So the customer doesn't have to ask. But I feel like as soon as the customer asks, the server believes that the customer is then going to be a bad tipper. So
Emily and company, we have a very full switchboard. So let's go directly to Ann and Shawnee. Ann, you've got a frequent pet peeve I've heard about.
thank you for taking my call. My pet peeve is when you put a $20 bill out on an $8 tab and the waiter or waitress says, did you need some change?
Yeah. It's like, duh.
Now,
can you subtract?
But I will, in the server's defense, I will say that that happened to me sometimes, and I didn't see if it was a 10 or a 20. You don't know.
When I was a server, I never asked, and I always brought change, no matter
what. Oh, I did
what.
Too, actually. But
if I don't want change, I will tell them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I'll tell you, it's a good scam. Okay.
It is.
I never played it, but let's go to Gene in Kansas City. Gene?
Yes. Yes.
What is your comment for us?
I think it is sort of crude and rude when the butchers or waitresses come by repeatedly and say, are you still working on it? Sounds like you need a hard hat, and I'm wondering why that couldn't be replaced by a...
She was kind of cutting in and out. So, but that is a frequent complaint in restaurants. Are you still working on that?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a recent development because I have, you know, I was a waiter as far back as the Carter administration, and I don't ever remember anyone ever using that term in the 70s or 80s.
People would say, are you done with that?
Yeah.
But working on
how
it is kind
doing?
Of, yeah, or, yeah,
how are we doing?
Doing?
Mm-hmm. That makes me think over-attentive servers who don't really
get you out of here and turn the table.
Well, just and ask coming up. I go to restaurants a lot to have a lunch meeting or have a serious conversation with something. I see the server walking by. If I need something, I'll ask. You could even sort of stop and look. But people, I have servers come and interrupt my conversations a lot to ask how we're doing, how we are doing every 2 or 3 minutes. I find that very
interesting.
Too much service is almost as bad as not enough service.
You working on that? one of our fellow panelists, who is not here today, Mary Block, who has the Around the Block blog, wrote in on Facebook to say, it drives me crazy when a waiter pours wine up to the rim of the glass or tries to divide a full bottle evenly between four diners so that each glass is totally full. That's really waiter 101 to learn not to do that. So
she's right.
Yeah, she's absolutely right. All right, let's go to Jeffrey. Jeffrey in Topeka?
Yes, I have a question. How do you deal with going out to eat with somebody who's a horrible tipper? My wife and I will not go out and eat with my in-laws because they are horrible tippers unless we have lots of cash in our pocket.
I always left extra money.
Me too. I slip the server something or leave extra money under my glass.
I make sure they leave first and somehow because you can't do – that's all you can do unless you could mention it to them. Why are you such a bad tipper?
Which people get really offended when you ask them that.
That's, that is, especially for an in-law or a close relative, is a real Pandora's box. Right. I had an uncle.
Have them listen to the show.
I had an uncle who had a lot of money, and never left more than a 5% tip. And here I was in college. I always had to go back and put money on the table.
Well, and for us it's really bad because we have a child. And I have a rule of tipping based on service and then looking to see how much the child put under the table.
Right.
And how much that server is going to have to clean up.
That's,
and I always feel bad going out with them.
Just then leave a toy leave a toy at the table so you have to run back in and get the binky or the blanket and leave an extra couple bucks on the
table. Because, you know, it's not worth starting a family feud over this issue.
Well, except.
Thanks.
Yes, except.
Well, I think that people who – I think it would be worth a conversation with them. No?
I don't think so.
I'm going to save that comment for the Dr. Phil show.
Okay.
But,
I would say if your in-laws are buying your meal for you and tipping poorly, then just let it be and go back and leave some – there's no – don't bring it up if they're buying your dinner.
But I do want to say, because we were talking about this before the show started, and, you know, I was a waiter for over 20 years – and I never really minded waiting on tables with children, although some of my coworkers may not remember it quite that way. But I will say this. If you have a child, especially a rambunctious child at your table who likes to open sugar packets and throw things, remember, you really if you usually leave 20%, you need to leave 30%.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You really need to make a good, good tip for that kind of experience. Let's go to James in Kansas City.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about like when I said I've done a lot of traveling. I've done a lot of traveling overseas, and when you eat at a good restaurant, say in Europe, a lot of times when you sit down at that table, you're the only one that's going to sit there that night. And I've been to some restaurants, like there's a restaurant in Hawaii that was like this. You know, seating was between 6 and 8, and you were the only people at that table. So because of that, your tips were a lot longer. Like, I don't want, and your guest earlier had talked about, I just slipped my mind.
Hold on, James, because we're going to tackle this question, and let you go. But, I don't approve, especially on a Friday or Saturday night, of people who linger at a table, because tables do turn. They need to turn. And if you are going to make an extend, or if you're going to check into the table for the night, then you need to tip extra.
You need to tip like 50 or 60% on your bill.
Right.
Okay.
You're renting that space for the night.
Adam writes, does it bother your panel when servers only ask, does everything taste all right, as if nothing else about dining matters? I hate that comment. Does everything taste all right? And that's a cue to throw up on the table, I guess. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't know. How would you respond to that?
I prefer it if people are a little more specific. But like Emily, I only need to be asked once how things are. And if they're really going to listen, because sometimes when they say that, they're walking away as they talk. And you want to go, well, wait a minute.
And I often get asked before I've even taken a bite. They don't look to see that I haven't taken a bite. Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's a good one. Ben, you're on the road, right?
Yes, sir. I live in Kansas City, but I'm driving to St. Louis, and I have listened to the show. And, I go to the R Bar sometimes. Haven't been back in a while because I have this problem. And it's when a waiter gets down at eye level with the table and interjects himself into the conversation or into the dining experience. And, I hate to be callous, but kind of don't care about the waiter personally. I just want the service to be good.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore because our bar is closed.
Yeah, our bar is closed.
Yeah.
But that's a very good point.
But I mean, and thank you, Ben. The R Bar was certainly not the only restaurant in town where that happens. And let me just say, I have been guilty of doing that myself as a former waiter. But I only did that with tables where I actually knew the people outside of the restaurant. It's not a good thing to do with strangers. I think it's a little too familiar.
I don't have to worry. I'm too short. Okay. Oh, I'm already at eye level.
Yes. A good friend of mine who was in the restaurant business for over 20 years, his gigantic pet peeve was servers who will actually sit down at the table with you. So he said, unless they're offering me a present, don't sit.
I have one waiter in town that I have asked him to sit. I have asked him to have some wine. It was the end of the night. But we have a long-term relationship.
All right.
And it's different when you ask.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go to Aaron in Olathe.
Hi there. I have a question that is probably more related to etiquette from patrons, not so much the wait staff. My sister and I have had this argument before. We had it again the other night. I want to know how late is too late to go into a sit-down restaurant. And it was like a chain restaurant, so we're not talking about a Room 39, a Michael Smith's, but I feel like if the restaurant is closing in under an hour, I don't want to go in and sit down and order food. And my sister, it was like 9:30, they closed at 10, and she thought it would be okay. I didn't do it.
Now, I will tell you, if the restaurant hours are posted, that the kitchen is open until 10, then that kitchen needs to be cooking past 10.
Yeah.
I think your sister's right on this one.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. And I had worked at a restaurant in high school, and I just,
you wanted to go home.
I did. I feel like at some point it's like, really, you want to sit down and be served up until, because you're going to end up there after the closing time. I try to be conscientious of that.
My fiance and I have this debate a lot because we've both worked in restaurants, and he says, it's half an hour till close, babe. We can't go in there. Their kitchen is still operating. It's why they're open that late.
I will tell you that that's another thing where you need to over tip the waiter. If you are the late table, if you are the last table, then you have to tip 30% or more. I mean, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are making everybody work overtime.
But if you go in at 9:30 and there's nobody else in the restaurant, I usually turn around and leave because then I am going to be the single table holding those people up. But if it's 9:30 and the restaurant closes at 10 and there are
busy.
7 tables seated and a couple don't have their food yet, I do not feel guilty at all.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. Judy in Harrisonville, you're going to take us in a different direction, maybe?
Yes. am I on?
You are on the air with us.
All right. Well, this is sort of a picky one, but it irritates me to no end when I go in and I'm a senior citizen. I take my mother, who is a very elderly senior citizen, and the waiter or waitress refers to us as honey. Or darling.
Or Tootsie.
Doll.
And I never know exactly what to say. On occasion, I've been a little bit rude about it, but normally I just try to look the other way. What do you think?
It's I don't know.
I'm 30 and I don't like being called ma'am, so I think it's just a...
it's endearment.
People don't know what to say.
It's a little condescending is what it is. When I think... why do they need to call you anything? Why not just go with, I mean, you wouldn't call two old men, or maybe you would, I don't know.
Darlings.
Yeah.
Perhaps this is more of a gender equality issue than a restaurant issue.
Yeah. We'll say,
Thank you,
Judy. And we are still taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888.
What do you think about the picky person you go out to dinner with who, matter what they serve, it could be elegant and refined and it just doesn't cut it?
I am now at the age where I will not dine with those people.
Me neither. I don't like them.
It's just not worth it. And
you know they're going to take an hour to decide.
Well, I will no longer go out to eat with someone who is rude to servers.
No.
That is my bottom line. No. They could eat alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and on that very note, Anne wrote in to us at centralstandard@kcor.org. What if you're out to eat with someone who is shockingly rude to your waiter? How can you make that right? Well, A, you don't eat with that person again, but B,
it doesn't help that night.
I think there is a situation where you have to confront your friend and say, you know, you make eating out with me a really unpleasant experience.
And why are you friends with that person? Because if that person is rude to the surfer,
they will
that
be
person
rude
is
to everybody.
Probably right. not very nice in general.
Well, but sometimes you could go out with someone and not know that. I mean, it could be the first time.
Yeah.
And the last.
It could be a business lunch.
That's could be a business lunch, which would be really – you could be going out with your boss, which would make you think twice maybe about working for him or her.
As we come to the top of the hour, let's go ahead and take this call. I'm sorry, caller. What is your name?
My name is Deepak.
Okay. And what do you want to ask us?
I was wondering, now, when you go to a pizza shop like a Papa John's, Pizza Hut, that kind of place, and if you're carrying, you know, if you're taking a take-home or something, what's modest to tip, and do you tip at all or do you not?
Yes, you tip, and I always say, what, a couple bucks?
Yeah, a dollar or two. Uh-huh.
Regardless of the order value?
Well, if you're ordering $100 worth of pizza,
I'd
say.
I mean, if it's like, say, about 10, 20, 30.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're ordering pizza for 75 people and they've been preparing it for an hour, give them a bigger tip. But if you're just getting a couple of pizzas for the family, yeah, a couple bucks is fine.
I'd give a little more than that. But
now, this is an excellent question that, you know, I think people are a little wary of. John and Lee Summit, you have a question for us?
Yes, I have a statement. A year or so ago, we went to a restaurant. We're seniors in our 70s. And the young lady came up to the table, and she says, how may I help you today? And she's got a tongue piercing. And my wife said, you can't help me today, and we got up and left.
All right, John. There are people who are really turned off by facial and piercings.
Well, especially a tongue or a lip piercing with it. It's just, I think it's unsanitary.
All right, that's a good point. I will say that I would rather have a server with piercings than a server who has not bathed in 2 days.
I agree, yeah.
And I've worked with him.
But it is off-putting, I think, around food. I mean,
well, that's why there are certain restaurants that you cannot show your tattoos or your piercings,
right.
And there are others and bars and restaurants where it's – I've worked in places where I had to cover up my tattoos and other places where they want me to show as much as I can.
let's go to Ron in Kansas City. Ron.
Flew the coop.
Okay, Ron did flew the coop. Joshua.
Yes. Question. I had a question about gourmet fast food restaurants and places like Chick-fil-A. Do you tip because they kind of stand at the window like maybe you should?
Nope.
No.
Oh, wait. At
Chick-fil-A?
At Chick-fil-A.
Or McDonald's. You know, tip at McDonald's.
Oh, no.
No.
He's talking about fast food.
Fast food.
He said fast food. Yeah.
He said gourmet. So maybe places like Ingredient and The Mix. But Ingredient has a no tipping policy. They won't accept tips. But The Mix, there's a tip box out. So
basically, they don't have a tip jar.
They don't have a tip jar.
Yeah, if there's a tip jar, throw a dollar in
it. But you know, at like hotel functions sometimes where they don't have a tip jar out, the bartenders, et cetera, are really grateful for tips, you know, although it may not be the official policy. So.
I was just at the new Lutfi's Fried Fish on Main Street, which is really nice and excellent fried fish. Well, of course, that's what I order. They have other kinds of fish. But the ladies behind the counter really work hard. And so I said, well, why isn't there a tip jar here? And she said, honey, the tip jar is in my hand. So... That's a line that I've always wanted to use. I think we have totally done the etiquette thing as much as we can do this hour.
I think we have.
And you know, here we are.
And we are all doing just fine.
I think so, yes. And I think, you know, I think if you have worked in the restaurant business, you really understand etiquette. But Christine, because you have eaten in so many restaurants, you get it.
I think I do. Yeah. I've worked hard
to make
sure.
I think we all do.
Yeah. Gloria. Yeah. That is true. That is so true. It's been a good show. I really like this. We're going to do in some future show, we'll do different kinds of pet peeves that don't necessarily fall under the etiquette thing. So
good idea.
Yeah, like, you know, Emily does not like tablecloths, but that's another show.
Or mix and match menus. Yes. Or carpeting or drapes.
Okay.
Goodness.
Bring on the tongue piercings, though.
Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Our announcer today is Sean Harrell. And I want to thank my fellow food critics, Christine DeSica, Emily Ferris, and Gloria Gale. And to everybody who called in, I'm Charles Ferruza, and this is Central Standard Friday.